Our second scripture lesson comes from the fifth chapter of Matthew, verses 13 through 20. And of course, we're continuing then in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has just finished the Beatitudes that we talked about last week. And then he begins to teach this. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We are not a Pentecostal church. I don't think I have to make that very clear to you all, but that does not mean that the Holy Spirit does not inhabit and work in each and every one of us and in our church. This morning's discussion at the in the Sunday school lesson, where they're talking about the Holy Spirit, came to the point where they were talking about a new book that is out entitled Fan or Follower. And Bobby, you'll have to tell me if I have that, the name of the book right, but it's pretty self-explanatory. You know, last week Jesus gave us a picture of how blessed we are in the different seasons of life, when times are difficult for one reason or another. Blessed are those who hunger. Blessed are those who mourn. You know, you are happy. You are blessed. You are given a gift of God's caring and loving in all of life's situations. And now here is your job description for the rest of your days. We are to be salt and light for the whole world. Not just a shaker of salt next to the corn pudding on the covered dish supper. Not just keeping the electric bill paid so the chandeliers in the sanctuary stay on. We are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Salt and light give glory to God. Salt and light do not give glory to anyone or anything else but God. The goal of being salt and light is to give glory to God, our Father in heaven, and to preserve and protect those he loves. Remember what I told the children? There's number one and number two, for God so loved the world, and now you are the salt of the earth. You're going to preserve all those that God loved, all those that Jesus sent, or what Jesus was sent into the world to save. Now, our church today is a church full of knowledge, full of data and information. You can learn anything you want to about the Bible, just it's at your fingertips. unlike any time in history. You can have all the truth of the Bible at your disposal. We have all kinds of knowledge, but we're not getting much action out of that knowledge, are we? Knowledge, Catherine Lewis, or Caroline Lewis, a preacher, says, knowledge without action is an impediment to the kingdom of heaven. Knowledge without purpose is an impediment to the kingdom. And unfortunately, that's what too many of my sermons and the sermons that are preached across this country are like. We got lots of data, we got lots of knowledge, we got very little do. We have a lot of information, but that's about as far as it goes, isn't it? We tend to amass information for information's sake, not for the sake of the difference that it might actually make for a neighbor or for a friend. In this section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus reminds us that knowledge about God cannot simply exist as knowledge. Knowledge about God is nothing other than theology. Remember, theo is God, ology is logos, word. It's a word about God. It's about God's very presence in the world. So it's not enough to know about God. We have to be the activity of God in the world. We are called to live out our identity as salt and light. I'm not going to go into a lot of the traditional explanations of salt and light. You've heard them all. Salt is a preservative. It adds savor, of course, we know, to food. Light, so simple. We celebrate it at Christmas. The light comes into the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. But what are we doing with it? What are we doing with all of this light? With the salt. You know, you wonder how salt can lose its savoriness, how it can be trodden, as Jesus said. It's because nobody uses it. If you leave it laying out there, somebody's going to walk through it, step on it, soil it, and that's no good for anything, is it? We season life and we make it savory and we preserve it. And why is it? How is it we do this? I love this. There's a little clip from the Peanuts cartoon. You remember Peppermint Patty? She was a mess. She was one of Charlie's friends that was just a mess. Peppermint Patty took Charlie Brown aside and said, "Charlie Brown, I got sent to the principal's office at school, and it's all your fault." Charlie said, "Why is everybody picking on me? How can your being sent to the principal's office be my fault?" And Peppermint Patty replied, "You're supposed to be my friend, Charlie Brown. You should have been a better influence on me." Is that true for us as the Church of Jesus Christ in this nation right now? Should we be a better influence than we are? We have been. Jesus describes us as light. Light. To be light is to participate in the very identity of Christ himself, right? He is the light that shone in the darkness, that the darkness could not overcome. Christ is ascribed the title, Light of the World. And so those of us who follow him participate and are members of that light. We are light wherever we go. Light, what does light do? It pushes out darkness. It illuminates the ways for people to walk so they don't stumble or fall. You ever been on Interstate 64 on a foggy day? And you start climbing Afton Mountain, and suddenly you can't see the edge of the hood of your car, and you're scared to death. Am I on the right lane? Am I off the road? Where am I? But then you look down and there's little lights embedded in the concrete all the way up that mountain. And you say, oh, I can follow the light. I know where I am. That's the way it is in life, right? Sometimes people need a little light. We can be that light for people when they're lost, when they're not sure, when life has assaulted them in so many ways that they just turned upside down and they're in a fog as to which way to go. We are the light that can help them find their way. You can do that for a neighbor, for a friend, for a family member. And it's not rocket science, is it? Salt preserves and seasons, and light makes the right path clear. The Beatitudes describe God's blessing on us. Salt and light describe the blessings that God calls upon us to be for our world. So Jesus raises the question this morning for us, how can the people be salt and light to the world around them? It's no accident that Jesus goes into a discussion of the Ten Commandments. He starts talking about, unless your righteousness surpasses the righteousness of the Pharisees and scribes, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Righteousness, being right with God, knowing what's right and wrong, having some perception of how to be a person of God in many and all situations, that's what part of it it's all about, light and salt. It means that we adhere to, we obey the law of God, and we see Jesus Christ and his love and that gospel of love as the fulfillment, the perfection of that law. Now, law can be cold. Now, you're guilty, therefore you die. That's what the law says. You're guilty. And so you'll be eternally punished in death. But God said, no, that's not the way I really want it to be. I'm going to send my only son with gospel, good news. All have fallen short of the glory of God, but God sent a Savior. The commandments are still the commandments. They still outline behaviors that God requires to achieve the rightness or righteousness in the eyes of God. Jesus did not discount that law. He said he came to fulfill it. Loving and serving God, treating our neighbor with the right kind of love and respect, that's what it's about. That's what righteousness really is. Read through those Ten Commandments, and the first several are about how we want to treat God. We are to honor God, honor the Sabbath that God has given us, honor the things that God honors, like parents. That's what righteousness is about. Then it comes down to don't steal from your neighbor, don't envy what your neighbor has, and just go on and live your life honoring God. So what does it mean in 2023? I had this great thing in my mind when I was writing this sermon, thinking, oh, there was going to be all these particular things in 2023 that I've never preached about before. But you know, it's still the same as it was back, 40, 50 years ago when I began working on these kind of things. It's being salt and light. And you know what that means. Everyone in this room knows exactly what that means. It means what, how it means in your home, in your family life, in your public life with your neighbors and friends. You know what it means to be salt and light. It isn't easy, as I told the children. This society is not very susceptible or accepting of the light and the salt we bring. Does that mean we hide the light under a bushel and, you know, we keep the salt to ourselves and pile it up on the street? No. You know, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on 2023, but one of the great things that's going on in our nation is that people have aligned themselves on one side or another, on the left or the right. There have been a few who tried to stay in the middle, but they don't stay long because left and right don't like that. But there is a third place to stand. We are to stand with and for Jesus Christ. We are to be salt and light. Rather than align oneself with man-made ideologies or man-made policies or politics, we are to align ourselves with righteousness in Jesus Christ. Align ourselves with the love of God, heart, soul, might, and mind given over to loving our neighbor as ourselves, being salty enough to say, you're going down the wrong road here. There is destruction, there is suffering there. Please, change course because I love you. You say it to your own children, hopefully. You say it perhaps to those you love. Let's say it to our neighbor as well. And Jesus, of course, simplified it all. He said, love God with heart, soul, might, and mind, and love neighbor as yourself. Simple. Salt and light. To him be the glory. Amen. Join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, salt and light, so simple, yet so difficult for us. Help us to discern. Help us to be. But most of all, empower us through the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.